Joining us today, Vivian Wei. Few executives possess her unique perspective. COO of Unified Agentforce Platform at Salesforce, leveraging technology to create massive business value. An angel investor, spotting the next trillion-dollar trends. And a keynote speaker who knows exactly what keeps global CFOs up at night. She's here to deliver the strategy you need today.
Welcome back to the Diary of a CFO podcast, the podcast with the lessons, challenges, and wins that shape their careers as well as their organizations. I'm your host, Wasia Kamon, and today I'm super delighted to have with me Vivian Wei. Welcome to the show, Vivian.
So happy to be here. Thank you for having me, Wasia.
Of course, you're the rock star. So I just want to dive in into your amazing career journey and really understanding how you ended up in your current role and what were some unexpected turns along the way.
Yeah, you know, my journey started in finance on Wall Street, where discipline around numbers, accountability really shaped my worldview. And then after I went to business school, came back and I was like, hey, I really want to go from being an agent to a principal. And so that's when I joined corporate, where I'm like, in any of the acquisitions I had done from my Wall Street days, the most amount of value actually come from how you successfully integrate them. So that's when I started with eBay initially, acquired multiple businesses around the world. I was in this business unit in eBay Classifieds, acquiring them. And then also I spent a lot of time integrating them, working cross-functionally, whether it's sales, marketing, customer service, support, finance, different departments. And then I just really, really enjoyed working with engineering, technology people. I think there's something about, when you're finance, you love numbers. When you work with engineers, they are really into the details, using their logical thinking, which actually that's how I landed my role at Salesforce.
Okay.
About 9 years ago in data center planning. And what I did at the time, we had some operations people monitoring our compute that supports the cloud growth. And I was working with a group of former Microsoft bankers and consultants that were hired into Salesforce to scale up our data center operations. And this was when I had my first experience with AI, which was predictive AI. How do we predict compute using data science models? And I remember we had daily stand-ups with a couple of data scientists inspecting the model in a black box, right? And then our team was like, what are the main drivers? Because in finance, when you do a forecasting model, there's always main drivers that change the model, the parameters, and the weighting of the parameters are so important. In some ways, data science predictive model are very similar in that sense, right? Because I studied math and statistics, and data science is an evolution of, what my husband likes to say. He's a PhD in neuroscience and ML engineer. And he's like, it's what breaks Excel. And he likes to make fun of me. Okay, because I was like, I got to do this spreadsheet and do it perfectly with the perfect formatting. Because I remember I used to spend nights and weekends making the perfectly formatted model with, blue color and red color. And he's like, you know what, ML, I break all of the spreadsheets. So that's kind of the advanced model of AI. And what it really did was, if you think about the complexity of predicting data center compute, you want to make decisions on spending millions and billions of dollars into scaling that capacity, you have to get really precise, right? And how you build that model is a combination. It can't just be a black box, first of all. And it has to be a combination of art, science, and business logic. And that's what I really enjoyed from kind of going from finance into operations, that leveraging AI for us to scale.
Wow. And when you say art, science, and business logic, please break it down, because most people learned about AI when ChatGPT came on board, right? We heard about ChatGPT, and that's when people started talking, like Main Street started hearing about AI, but you learned about it like years ago. So I'm curious to hear how you really developed that approach of seeing it in those three steps, but also what was your first impression when you saw what predictive AI could do, left alone generative AI?
Yeah, you know, predictive AI in some ways, like it's forecasting, right? Look at the history and then you forecast into the future. Generative AI is very different because all of a sudden you can develop new ideas. And sometimes like when I use ChatGPT or Google Gemini, it gives me new ideas that I didn't think about before, which I found was just super, super powerful. Because if you think about, you know, we always talk about human working with AI agents. If I have an assistant that's going to augment how I think about a problem with new possibilities, that make me a more productive worker, a more effective leader. Because now I'm able to take the different components, not only with data, but also the human layer, right? Because, you know, for example, leading large scale change management is really at the essence of agentic AI transformation at any large scale companies. I think of it as 30% technology, 70% leadership. And the reason for that is because when you're trying to change how a company is wired, how people work, it's easy to implement a system, but how do you work with people who lead with emotions? We're all humans. I mean, we're all humans and we have emotions. We have fear. We don't want to change. And that's just human nature. How do you recognize that and work with people to figure out, okay, actually help them realize it's so important to embrace AI because it's going to make you more productive, more effective, as you, whether you're an individual contributor or you're a leader in an organization. There's a lot of news in the market driving AI fear, but it's so false. So I think of like as a leader, that is a huge responsibility we have. How do I help my team experience the same AI delight moment that I have every day and incentivize them, get them, motivate them to use AI and just test it out? What's the worst thing that could happen? You get an answer you don't like, right? Especially in the corporate context, we have Gemini as a tool. We have Cursor for engineers. And I've orchestrated rhythm and cadence for hundreds of engineers, thousands of engineers to come together on a weekly basis. It's not mandatory, but people just show up on a no meeting Thursday and bring their best recipes of how they're embracing AI. And we all learn from each other because, you know, we're still at this very beginning of AI. Nobody has answers. Some people are going to come out and say that I have the answer. I don't have answers. I don't have all the answers. I'm learning every single day. And I learn from young people. I learn from other leaders in the industry. I learn from AI engineers, developers. I learn from COOs who are not AI builders, but they're driving adoption. They see patterns. There's different people, different perspectives. This is the moment for us to learn and embrace AI.
Wow. And I want to come back to when you first learned about AI, working with those engineers and them telling you what the different type of AI were. So for example, how would you define an AI agent versus an AI native leader versus agentic AI, generative AI? There's so many AI at the end. AI feels like ketchup on the fries right now. So please give us some definition before we keep going.
Yeah, you know, so, okay, here's how I would break it down. An AI agent is essentially a digital coworker that can act on your behalf, whether it's solving service issues or sending various emails or running financial reconciliations. And depending on how much power you want to give to this AI agent, the agent can operate without oversight.
Wow.
Now you have to be careful, right? You need to have like agent managers that are monitoring the performance of those AI agents. And usually it's a human who have the subject matter experts and need to look at, okay, is this agent like performing based on what I think it should perform? And then over time, I can give it more volume, more responsibilities based on your customer needs.
Okay.
Now, an AI native leader or an AI native worker is somebody who doesn't just adopt AI, but also really think about the workflows around it and like reimagine at a large enterprise, how should I be thinking about the new AI powered system? I talked about, hey, you know, the people who just bring the technology, but really you got to think about, hey, what are the various people, process, and technology changes to drive the AI adoption? And that's what I call like an AI native leader. It's really like think about at scale, how do you shift from just managing tasks to actually orchestrating outcomes for the enterprise? And then the last one, you know, it's actually a really good question you asked about like agentic AI. There's a lot of point solutions in the market. But I really think about agentic AI as a complete system. It's a system of various interconnected mini agents in the different functional areas to learn, adapt, and collaborate across all functions. And if you think about it, it's really not just automation. It's kind of like a limitless workforce that Mark Benioff talked about during our Dreamforce last year. And, you know, one of the powers of what Salesforce has been able to do as our own agentic enterprise is because we have sales, marketing, commerce for transaction, for service support, it really has various touch points across the entire customer journey. And when we have agents on top, the different functional agents can have visibility and orchestrate with one another. So from a customer standpoint, when I go on the help.salesforce.com, I'm interfacing with an agent, asking questions about support. But really, like in the future, if I want to buy a new product from Salesforce, learn about a new product from Salesforce, the agent can be on the front end, but at the back end, they can orchestrate and share information with the sales agent, right? So the experience for me as a customer is, it's a perfect handoff. I don't need you to be shipping the org chart to me as a customer. I want those agents to orchestrate the actions amongst each other. Similar to how when we work, you know, if you're a customer, Wasia, like you want to scale, you know, your podcast and you come to me and ask, hey, how do I use your marketing agent? I'm going to introduce you, give the context of our relationship, of your business to the sales leader in our organization. The agent should be able to do the same thing. And in fact, the agent will probably be able to do a better job because it's all within the same system, agentic AI system, powered by, in our case, it's powered by our Salesforce data cloud, which has a unified view of the customer across the entire customer 360. And we're taking new signals based on the interactions you have with across every single touch point with our entire company. That is the power of like the agentic AI system.
Wow, that's impressive. But also, coming back to something you said earlier, you said when you think about this whole idea of agentic enterprise, agentic AI, you have AI managers. So humans really overseeing the work of AI, and they have to be subject matters. But you also implemented on the other end, you need like 70% leadership and 30% tools. So what does it mean for the workforce itself, for somebody maybe entering the workforce or somebody listening? How do they learn to manage AI agent? Like what kind of upskilling is needed there? And how can an existing leader bring it to their organization?
So essentially, with this agent force transformation, agentic AI transformation, we've created a new category of jobs. Okay. And that's what I call agent managers, agent supervisors. And it's actually a component of a few different roles. So first, you talk about generative AI, right? And there's this subject called prompt engineering. And really, I mean, this is one of the most isolating terms. I don't think it should be called prompt engineering. It should be called prompt designing, because all it is using your natural language to put in a prompt into OpenAI. Anybody can do it. There's nothing to be engineered. You don't have to be an engineer to write a prompt. Uh-huh. Okay, so really it's a prompt design.
Okay.
And then there's like people who specialize in prompt design. And we actually have a team who design those prompts based on the subject matter expertise because of the various industries experience we've had over the past 26 years. So whether it's financial services, whether it's healthcare, there are very specific topics that's needed, right, in those industries. And we have people who design the prompts, okay, so that our customers can use it out of the box. But if you think about as an agent manager, you can design the prompts. You can also set guardrails. What are my agents able to do and should not be permitted to do based on the roles and responsibilities, similar to humans, right? You're not going to, as a finance professional, you're not going to let a salesperson see specific financial information that's company sensitive. So that's what we call guardrails. You set guardrails. And again, that's where you need subject matter expert to go and set those guardrails in the tool so the agents aren't just wild agents. And then once the agents are built, you also need to figure out, you know, the agent is only good at as good as the data it has access to. And that's relevant in the specific enterprise context it has. So then you got to figure out, okay, how much data do I feed this agent? Like I said, you don't need to give the agent all of the data, right? Now we're getting to the governance, security, privacy, access control into the data. And we build it into our platform where we can, where customers can make that decision, right? For the agent manager. Now, once you build the agent, you need somebody to be monitoring the agent. And I joke with people, unlike managing humans, you actually have to be watching the agents like very, very closely, especially as you ramp over time. You don't just give those agents full responsibility on day one, have them handle all of the custom traffic. And you have to be looking at the utterances, right, that's coming from the customers, evaluate how they're responding, and are they meeting the customer satisfaction, right? And also tweaking them. So there's a very rapid iteration of looking at the how the agent is performing, tweaking, making the agents better over time. And then as you assess their performance, you can give it more traffic, right? Because we started with zero traffic, then we ramped to 5%, 10% on the help.salesforce.com agent. And, you know, now we're handling, the agents are handling like 85% of case resolutions.
Wow. That's impressive.
This is in software.
Okay.
Right. And it's a ramp over time. So that's like the job of an agent manager. Understand the basics, learn the language of data, AI, and how to manage an agent. Get your hands dirty and you're managing digital worker.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And it also makes me think about how maybe companies are going at it too fast, because there was a survey that came out saying how the percentage of AI projects that are failing, because again, I feel like we're using AI like ketchup on fries. When you think about scaling, utilizing AI at such a large scale like Salesforce, like how do you bring such a big project to the finish line, such a large organization? How do you get buy-in? Like, what are some of the things that you did to bring it in your role?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you mention it, because I think right now the market is still asking the questions about generative AI and thinking that the large language model companies can solve all the problems at large enterprises. And it cannot be further from the truth. And the reason why I say that is because if you think about those large LLMs, they're trained on public company data, right? And the agents are only, and we're getting to the phase of agentic AI, not just generative AI. Because, I mean, generative AI, it's more consumer grade. And you know, look, we also use those generative AI tools, the LLMs, but I mentioned before, there's a few really critical things about data. You need trusted, well-governed enterprise data. You need to control the access. There's toxicity and there's bias in those models that essentially we've built the trust layer to do some of those work. And we built an extensible like platform for the Salesforce trusted Agentforce platform so that we can help the customers solve these problems. A lot of the customers we've seen is like they, you know, they spent a few million dollars, sometimes tens of millions of dollars with a large language model. And then they're like, oh, so we're like, okay, you're going down the DIY route. Now you got to build your own security, your trust layer, bias detection, how do you build the guardrails, right? And we've built all of this inside the Salesforce Unified Agentforce platform. So if you don't have the thousands of engineers to do this, we've done it for you. And what we advise, I advise my customers to do is, look, at the end of the day, it's about you creating value for your business, for your customers. Figure out where your core competency is and use us as a trusted advisor with the platform, and you focus the majority of the time designing those agents specific to your enterprise context and make your customers happy, bring more customers, expand your business, and run it effectively. That's where a lot of the enterprises should be spending their time on, not just to build technology for the sake of it, right? But focus on the higher value creation chain. I mean, we're talking about finance people, like focus on, okay, what's going to help me with my top line growth, bottom line efficiency? I would direct all the business users and technology thinkers and builders towards that. Don't just pick up any shiny project and follow the herd. rather think about, okay, what is the business outcome? What are the biggest business opportunities we should be going after that our competitors are not going after right now? And now think about, how do I use AI agents to get to that outcome?
Wow.
What is the shortest time to value, right? Like shortest time to value. Because you want your ROI, not wait for 5 years. You want your ROI like in the next 3 months. Pick up a use case and build it, experiment it, prove value. And then over time, you'll give them more money, right? And resources. but prove it first. You know, this is the finance like discipline. Prove. I give you a little bit of investment. You show me the money. Show me the return. Then over time, I'm going to give you a little bit more. And you continue to do this. I'm going to calculate my ROI.
Yes.
In your investment.
Yes, yes, yes. But I love why you said it, because it's really a roadmap for people, you know, with any function, not just finance. Like, make sure you have the right data, one, that you're on the right platform. And you're not just going for the sake of going. But like you said, you really take a step back to think about your core competency. Where would you have the most value in the shortest amount of time to get that ROI and keep moving? That's brilliant. Thank you so much. Now, I'm curious now for the finance people. So what could be the benefits of agentic AI for CFOs and finance leaders?
You know, I think about, for example, procurement.
Okay.
My gosh, right? I mean, I spend time in data center operations. The amount of cross collaboration between engineering then to procure the equipment with the partners, whether it's a hardware provider or interconnection data center provider for power and space, or to the delivery, right? Once you place the order, there's a delivery process where you could really need visibility and then to build, right? Like I think about that entire chain. And from a finance standpoint, what's really important, you want to see the throughput and you want to see the time from the moment you place the order to the procurement, like when you're going to pay once the data centers receive the assets, right, through the COA. And then you forecast the cash flows and the impact on the income statement. I think a lot about there's the agent who can orchestrate across the entire supply chain, right? Not only from the moment of procurement, but like the common kind of having common visibility across the different departments. Because sometimes you may not be getting the signals.
Yes.
And that creates error in forecasting. And it actually creates a big amount of risk.
Yes.
Think about during COVID time when supply chain was down and like everything was delayed. What then you scramble from a finance professional, like you scramble to figure out, okay, how do I manage the books now? Because I've told my investors to expect X and then there's all these supply chain issues, right? Yeah. But I think about, hey, how do I use agents effectively? We could use agents to create the interconnection and doing the coordination across the different kind of functions as well as the communication.
Nice.
Agents can send emails to the different departments based on the visibility, the type of information you need to see for the needs you have. So in the case of finance, like you could use the agent to tell you, hey, you know, there's going to be a shock in the system and I'm going to tell you before, like
it happens to my financials.
Exactly, right? Well before maybe other partners who may not be seeing your perspective, what's important to you, but because you wire the agent this way, the agent can predict and tell you systematically.
What's your favorite thing to do outside of work with all these AI going on? I'm curious.
You know, I have two young daughters. They're 7 and 9. And I really started to think about, hey, how do I create that must-do common connection? And so I actually go to my parents' retirement community every weekend now, and we're learning how to play golf together.
Nice.
And so we learn, we try, we don't hit the ball, okay, like, you know, we could get another try. But a lot of this, I was like, this is the agentic AI mindset, right? You just like, experiment with something and learn, and yes, you improve over time. Because, you know, to get to perfect, it's 10,000 hours. So I really appreciate doing that. And what it also helps me do is like, I connect with not only my daughters, but also my parents who are there. And it's so important we spend the quality time and invest in those relationships.
Awesome. Keeping that human touch. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Vivian. It was super, super helpful to have you on.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. And that's it for today's episode of The Diary of a CFO. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to like, review, subscribe, and share with others. Our website is thediaryofacfo.com. That's where you can find all the episodes, access all the guest profiles, see their bios and their social media links. It is also the place where you can apply to be a guest on the podcast and have information about how you can sponsor the show. As always, if there is any topic you would like me to cover in the future, just email me at ask@thediaryofacfo.com. See you soon.
Wondering if you're ready for the CFO role? Find out with a free CFO readiness scorecard at cfo.scoreapp.com.